You're listening to The Stressless Life with Dr. Yip, a podcast about conquering your fears and overcoming anxiety. The question for the day is, what are cognitive distortions and how can we break free of them? I'm your host, Noah Larracy. Let's say hello to Dr. Yip.
Hello, Noah.
Dr. Yip is a licensed psychologist who's board certified in behavioral cognitive therapy and an expert in the treatment of anxiety and OCD. So Dr. Yip, what are cognitive distortions?
Well, cognitive distortions are basically mental fallacies that we all make. I call these mind traps because you literally have errors that you make all the time and you get stuck in them because they determine how you feel. And mind traps can cause you to feel anger, can cause you to feel fear, can cause you to feel sadness. And once you get stuck in those emotions, it's hard to get out of the cognitive distortions that are causing this pattern.
So most people don't think of themselves as necessarily having distortions. People tend to think that they see things clearly.
Oh, yes, of course. Actually, whenever I give this to my patients or even teach my students about it, the first response I usually get is, I don't do any of this, to which I then point out, well, that itself is a cognitive distortion. We call it all or nothing thinking.
All or nothing thinking. Okay, we'll definitely get to that. So why do these happen, these distortions?
Well, you have to remember that your mind works on efficiency. However, at the sacrifice of accuracy. So in order for us to process information quickly, we have to filter out all of the extraneous information that we feel are non-essential. Problem is, that doesn't give us a factual picture of what's happening. And in fact, it's a bias. It's our own subjective bias. And it's because of these subjective bias that leads us to experiencing these mind traps.
And how common are these mind traps?
Oh, let's say that we all experience it, even myself. A person who's gone through any logical reasoning training or cognitive behavioral training will still make these cognitive errors. The only difference is that the person who's gone through a course in logic or cognitive behavioral training is that the person who's gone through this process can more better identify when it's occurring so that they can change and adjust their thinking in its track rather than be debilitated by the aftermath of it.
Speaking of the aftermath, in CBT, we focus on the fact that these thoughts have a real effect on the way we feel.
Yes.
So these distortions have real life emotional effects, don't they?
Absolutely. So it's important to realize that our emotions don't just come from nowhere. They stem from our thoughts. Even thoughts that are so minuscule, that are so automatic, that we really don't have much awareness of it. Sometimes thoughts can occur so automatically because they come from our belief system, and we rarely go and check every single part of our thoughts to see if they're completely accurate or not, or check to see if the value of our belief system is still in alignment with what's current today. So cognitive distortions occur all the time because we're not paying attention to the accuracy of our thoughts. Problem with that again is that if we're having irrational thoughts, that is going to cause irrational emotions. And on top of that, that will shape our irrational responses.
But if I can't control my thoughts, how is knowing about these distortions going to help me correct them?
Well, knowing that you're having these distortions itself will help you to adjust your thinking patterns so that they're more reflective of reality. Otherwise, you'd just be going through life having one cognitive error after another and not realizing that your thinking patterns are flawed.
Tell me about some of the common cognitive distortions. How many are there?
I have 13 cognitive distortions in my book. However, there are definitely some that are more common than others. So, for example, earlier we talked about the all or nothing thinking or black and white thinking. And that is basically when you see things as absolutely one way or another, and we don't leave any room for the in between. I call this thinking in the gray area.
What would be an example of all or nothing thinking?
For example, if I'm walking down the street and I perceive someone looking at me funny and I say or I think something like, no one ever likes me. Everyone hates me. Well, that is an all or nothing thinking because it's absolute one way or the other. There's no room for in between.
So in reality, some people like you and some people don't like you. Yes. Not that no one likes you.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, in reality, some people will like you, some people won't like you, and that's the truth.
So the distortion is that we're taking one small piece of evidence and then generalizing from that to everything.
Well, no. That's actually another cognitive distortion. So a second mind trap is called overgeneralization. And that is when we take one part of a situation and generalize it to everything else. Stereotypes work very much in this way. So for example, someone might say, oh, Asians are all very smart, or Asians are all very hardworking, or Asian moms are all tiger moms, right? So that is taking a part of something and generalizing it to the whole group. Now, is it absolutely true that all Asians are smart and hardworking and Asian mothers are tiger moms? I know many Asians who are not hardworking, who are not that smart, and actually very many Asian moms who actually have poor boundaries rather than strict boundaries as a tiger mom would have.
So that would be an example of overgeneralization.
Yes.
Let's take another one that's really common. How about emotional reasoning?
Ooh, emotional reasoning is basically when we make any factual conclusion, any factual statement based on our emotions. So for example, if I say, you know, I am feeling like all hell is going to break loose. So that must mean that I'm going to do poorly on my speech. Well, just because you feel a little anxiety, just because you feel a little shakiness and a little nervous, doesn't mean that your speech is going to go poorly. Right? So you're making a statement based on how you feel rather than on evidence.
Okay, here's one list that I think applies to me, catastrophizing. Right? Why don't you tell us about catastrophizing?
Well, we all catastrophize, right? And catastrophizing is exactly that. It's when we constantly thinking of the worst to a potential situation that hasn't happened yet. So rather than thinking, well, I don't know how this will end, or, you know, I mean, from experience, it's not that bad. We're always worrying and ruminating about the worst possible consequence.
One benefit of catastrophizing, though, is that you're rarely disappointed, right?
Oh, true. Yes. However, the amount of energy that you're spending catastrophizing, I don't know if that's worth not being disappointed. Again, you actually right there just made a mind trap.
Which one?
Well, you basically said that one good thing to catastrophizing is that we won't be disappointed.
Would that be emotional reasoning?
No, that's jumping to conclusion. How do you know? How do you know that you wouldn't be disappointing? Maybe, which is what we do a lot, is we catastrophize. We worry for the worst, yet we hope for the best. Right? So as long as you still have that hope, you will still experience that disappointment. So thank you for demonstrating that next cognitive error, which is jumping to conclusion.
I'm a walking cognitive distortion. So let's talk about jumping to conclusion, which is, I guess, mind reading, right?
Well, it's a little bit of mind reading and it's a little bit of fortune telling. You're mind reading in that you're thinking that you know what other people are thinking, or you believe you know what other people are thinking. And it could also be that you're forecasting something about the future that, unless you have a crystal ball, I don't think that is possible.
So a lot of these, it seems like we have the sort of gift and use of reason, but that these distortions are almost misuses of that.
It's misuses in order to reach a conclusion of certainty at a much efficient rate. Keep in mind that the human mind dislike uncertainty at all costs. However, according to Benjamin Franklin, the only certainty in life we have is death and taxes. So unless it's either of those two things, life is full of uncertainty. However, it causes a lot of distress to live in doubt and uncertainty, and therefore we try to arrive at some sort of conclusion. We try to reach some sort of stability, and sometimes to get there, we experience a lot of these mind traps in order to give us this false sense of reality.
So the mind traps are a shortcut to certainty. It doesn't exist.
That doesn't exist, right? Because again, the only certainty in life is what?
Death and taxes.
According to Benjamin Franklin.
Which of these do you find the most common in your patients? Is there any particular one you find all the time?
I would say that we make all of them all of the time. So there's not one or another that I would say someone makes more of. We all experience these all the time. The difficulty is catching them, is being able to identify when a cognitive error has occurred.
In order to combat these, what should one do?
Well, do you remember when we talked about the fight or flight response?
Of course, that would be episode one.
Wow, you... Okay. Well, in episode one, when we talked about the fight or flight response, we talked about how when you're experiencing arousal, whether it's positive or negative, that is your fight or flight alarm at work, right?
Right.
Well, keep in mind that your fight or flight response is your body's biological experience. Right. However, your subjective experience of that can be any emotion, can be anger, could be joy, could be fear. And cognitive distortions are involved in our thoughts, and our thoughts trigger what?
Feelings.
Feelings, right? So what is very useful is if we use our feelings, use our emotions, use our body's objective fight or flight trigger to identify when a cognitive error has just occurred, when we're stuck in this mind trap. So let's say that you're going about your day and all of a sudden you're feeling like your heart is racing and you're getting this jittery feeling and you're feeling a little on edge now. Well, why are you feeling on edge?
Probably because of some thought you had.
Exactly. You probably perceived something, so subjective, right? And because you perceived something, you have a thought, and that thought is what triggered the emotion. So then you have to look back at the thought and identify what that thought was in order to determine if a cognitive error actually existed. So for example, let's say you're checking your thoughts now, right? And you're checking, and you're looking around your environment and you're determining if there's any threat. Is there really a saber tooth in your environment? And your conclusion is no, there's not really a saber tooth around. So then you check your thought again. And you determine, oh, you know, you're a little bit nervous about the party that you have to attend tonight. So then you check your thought. Well, what is the exact thought? Well, I don't know if I know there's anyone there. So if I don't know anyone who's going to be there, then I won't be talking to anyone. I'll just be all alone, and this is going to suck. So I shouldn't even go to this party.
So you would try to then identify the cognitive distortion at its source, which in this case would be, I don't want to go to the party, or I don't know anyone at the party.
It's, I don't know anyone at the party, which might be true. However, the distortion is that I won't be talking to anyone. It's going to suck, and I shouldn't go.
So it's catastrophizing in this case.
Catastrophizing, jumping to conclusion, it's fortune-telling, it's shoulding. It's a should statement, right? So you have many cognitive distortion in that thought.
It sounds like cognitive distortions, they come oftentimes more than one at a time.
Oh, absolutely. It's almost like a gang of them will bombard you all at the same time.
Now, is it possible then to sort of identify these yourself, or do you need to go to a therapist to sort of help you figure them out?
Well, you don't necessarily need to go to the therapist to help you out with this, unless it's something that occurs very chronically and you're having a hard time even understanding when and how they occur. If this is something that you're working on, well, the first thing I would say is really understand why cognitive distortions occur, how they occur. And the most important thing is really understanding that cognitive distortions occur because of our subjective biases. Because what we perceive, and our perceptions are biases, what we perceive is based on whatever we are experiencing in that moment. So, for example, eyewitness testimonies. We know for a fact that eyewitness testimonies have very, very low validity and reliability. Do you know why that is?
Because our memories are probably not as good as we think they are.
That's right. Not only are our memories not as good as we think they are, our memories are sometimes, or actually most times, encoded without full information of what actually happened. So when you're observing a situation, what you observe and what you remember depends on a large number of things, such as where you're standing. Which angle are you seeing this situation from? How are you feeling? What is your mood that day? Which can be affected by what you ate that day, how much sleep you've gotten, whether you've had an argument with your spouse or partner, whether you're being stressed at work. So many things come into play in how we remember a situation, which is why our memories are subjective and our perceptions are often flawed.
Let's just say we find some sort of distortion in our thinking and we realize it. How is that going to actually help us feel better?
Let's go back to that party. So let's say you identified those cognitive distortions as jumping to conclusion, catastrophizing, should statements, and you want to ask yourself, is there any evidence supporting my thought? Is it absolutely true that if I go to this party where I won't know anyone, that I won't talk to anyone? Is that absolutely true?
No.
No. How do you know, right? Because people might come up to you and you can definitely always go and introduce yourself to somebody else and spark up a conversation. So no, that is not absolutely true. So then if that's not absolutely true, then is it absolutely true or is there evidence that this party will suck?
No.
Well, so far there's no evidence that this party will suck. Does that mean that the party will suck? Maybe. However, you won't know until you get there, right?
Right.
Okay. So if you don't know whether the party will suck, then should you not go to this party?
Not necessarily, no.
Not necessarily, right? I mean, I would definitely not go to a party if I didn't know whether it would suck or not, right? I would probably give it a chance. And after, you know, maybe 20, 30 minutes there, 45 minutes. If I'm not feeling it, I can always leave. So by identifying and correcting for these cognitive distortions, you can get yourself out of these mind traps because you're identifying where the flaws are. You're adjusting your thoughts so that they are more representative of reality. And therefore, your emotions that follow won't be one of anxiety or fear or nervousness, whatever it might be.
So having an undistorted view of the world actually feels better?
Well, not always, right? I think that is another cognitive distortion that you just made. That was another all or nothing thinking, Noah.
I am full of them today. Last question. I'm sure some of our listeners are thinking their spouse or significant other, oh, well, they jump to conclusions all the time. They overgeneralize. Would you suggest pointing these out to people that you know?
Oh, no, I definitely would not do that. I mean, who wants to have a telltale person pointing out all of their flaws, right? No. What I would do, though, is perhaps read this information together. Or share this podcast with people whom you're close to that you want them to hear what cognitive distortions are and what to do about them. So again, going back, the first thing is to really understand and learn what cognitive distortions are. Then once you really understand why they happen and how they happen, really identifying what those cognitive distortions are. So that lists off 13 cognitive distortions that I believe we'll be posting on the website. So really looking at that list and being familiar with that list so that when you do find yourself feeling off, you can go back and revisit the thought that triggered this negative feeling and identify what exactly is the thought. And then, well, what cognitive error contributed to this thought? And once you can identify that, then you can ask yourself, well, is there evidence for this? And if there's not evidence for it, then adjust your thought accurately so that it's more reflective of reality. And if you can do that, then the negative emotions will slowly decrease. Now, I do have to warn you though, there are some people when they are adjusting their thought, they're making distortions in their adjustment. So for example, let's take that party example, right? So you made the adjusted thought or you identified the cognitive distortions that you've got all or nothing thinking, jumping to conclusion and should statement, and you find that there's really no evidence to the thought. And then since there's no evidence, you go and adjust your thought. However, you adjust it to the complete opposite. So for example, your adjusted thought is something like, this party won't suck because I will be talking to people there. Well, how do you know that, right? That to me sounds like all or nothing thinking to the opposite extreme of the spectrum. You don't know that the party won't suck, and you don't know that you'd want to talk to everyone there. What if when you get there, the people that you see are, you know, not people whom you'd be even interested in having a conversation with, right? So again, the point of this is not to experience the opposite. It's not to then BS yourself into having positive thinking. That's not the point here. The point is having realistic perceptions, accurate perceptions, which oftentimes will come with uncertainty.
Okay, well, that's enough distortions for today. Thank you, Dr. Yip. Thank you for listening to the Stressless Life podcast. You can join the discussion and find more information at www.dryip.com/thestresslesslife. Please write to us with questions and comments at thestresslesslife@dryip.com. Until next time, stay stressless.